Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode, we're going to look at how to ride your horse on the bit. So the term on the bit is often wrongly simplified to a horse that has his head tucked in with a rounded neck. So as long as the horse does not have its nose poking out and isn't looking at the stars, then it's on the bit. This is incorrect. On the bit is about much more than your horse's head position. So in this podcast episode, we're going to clarify what on the bit is, why you want your horse on the bit, and how to put your horse on the bit. So first up, what is this on the bit? Well, when a horse is described as being on the bit, it means that a connection has been formed from the horse's hind legs to the contact. So the horse is relaxed and is moving forward rhythmically. He tips his pelvis under, engages his core muscles, and lifts his back as he steps further underneath his centre of gravity with his hind legs. He then stretches up and forward through the base of his neck, while at the same time propelling the energy created by his hindquarters over his back towards the end of the reins, thus creating a connection to the contact. Now, when this is done correctly, your horse will create a beautiful arch over his back and neck as he stretches towards the bit. He will flex softly at his poll and he will bring his nose closer towards the vertical, but only come onto the vertical in high degrees of collection. So as you can see, this on the bit term involves your horse's whole body. And it is only possible through correct training. Okay, so now that we know what it is, why do you want your horse on the bit? Well, the most important reason for riding your horse on the bit is that it encourages your horse to move in a biomechanically friendly posture, thereby reducing the risk of injury and promoting a long working life. Now also, your horse's posture can influence his mental state. So if your horse is startled or in an alert state, you'll notice that his head is up and he is stiff and tense with a hollow back. But when your horse is relaxed, his head is lowered, his neck is long, and his back is round. Therefore, the correct on-the-bit posture helps to encourage your horse into a natural state of relaxation, thereby promoting a willing and a harmonious partnership. Now, on top of those points that we've just mentioned, a horse that works on the bit will be easier to bend and turn, he will have a better balance, he will be more responsive, he will be easier to position for lateral movements, he will be more comfortable to sit on, he will have greater focus and attention, he will have improved paces, he will have a greater acceptance of the aids, he will have smoother, cleaner and more direct transitions, and he will be less likely to spook. So overall, putting your horse on the bit is the first step to you being able to positively influence your horse's way of going, rather than just being a passenger on his back. So before we talk about how to put your horse on the bit, let's first cover how not to do it. So as we mentioned in the introduction, many people wrongly believe that on the bit simply means having their horse's nose tucked in, and this leads riders to commit many training faults. So they could constantly fiddle with the rein contact, they could swing their horse's head from side to side, they could seesaw on their horse's mouth, they could use draw reins, bungees and other gadgets, and they cram their horse between strong leg and rein aids. Now, all of those methods will force their horse to lower his head and bring his nose closer to his chest and hold it there. And to the untrained eye, your horse may look like he's on the bit, but he will be hollow through his back, his hind legs will be trailing, and he will be moving in a very uncomfortable posture. And over time, this can lead to injury, lameness, deterioration of your horse's natural paces, and incorrect muscle development. So that's how not to do it. Now let's talk about how to actually go about putting your horse on the bit correctly. But before you start, we have a little bit of a side note. So if you have never ridden a horse on the bit before, and your horse has never been asked to work in this way, then one of the best places to start would be to get a lesson on a dressage schoolmaster with a qualified and experienced instructor. Now, of course, this option is not available to everyone, but if you do have this opportunity, take it. It will be much easier for you to teach your own horse how to work on the bit when you have experienced what it feels like, not just in the contact, but also underneath your seat, because remember that on the bit involves the horse's whole body. Okay, but with that said, now let's start with step one, which is relaxation, rhythm, and the desire to go forward. So when you get on your horse, your first step is to establish your horse's relaxation. But remember that relaxation does not mean that your horse should be dawdling along half asleep. Your horse should still be responsive and respond promptly to your leg aids and move forward with long, smooth, and rhythmical steps. And your horse should continue under his own steam. So you should not have to constantly squeeze your horse with your legs just to get him to maintain the pace. If this happens, then you need to work on getting your horse more forward and in front of your leg. But now let's talk about step two. So this is suppleness and alignment. So once you have a relaxed horse that is moving forward in the correct rhythm and at a suitable tempo, then your next step is to ensure that your horse is supple over his back and that he is correctly aligned. So his hind feet should be following in the tracks of his front feet. So as we talked about earlier, you want your horse to raise his back and tuck his pelvis under. Now we can only do that if he is soft and supple over his back. If he is tight and stiff, then his top line muscles won't be able to stretch. So you need that suppleness over the back. Secondly, we also mentioned that the energy that is created by your horse's hindquarters needs to be propelled over his back and into the contact. Now, for that to happen, your horse must be aligned correctly, and this applies to straight lines, around circles, and around turns. So his hind feet should follow in the tracks left by his front feet. If your horse is crooked, then the energy that is created by your horse's hind legs will be misdirected. For example, it could go into his outside shoulder and cause him to fall out. Okay, so now let's talk about step three, and this is providing a contact. So at this stage, you should have a horse that is relaxed, rhythmical, in front of your leg, supple over his back, and correctly aligned. You now need to provide your horse with a contact to work into. So there should be a straight line from your horse's bit up through your wrists to your elbows. You should not have loopy washing line reins, but at the same time, you should not strangle your horse with a tight and restrictive contact. Your hands should be ready to politely receive the energy that is coming over your horse's back. Now, the feel you are trying to achieve should be elastic and stretchy, not fixed and hard. And it should be relatively consistent, so you don't want it to be harsh one moment and non-existent the next. And it should be level with an even weight. Now, if your horse resists or ducks behind your contact by going behind the vertical, Then just softly allow with the reins and ride your horse forward. You want to ride your horse to the contact, but don't forcefully push him through it. And when all of those components are correctly in place, then your horse should be happy to stretch forward and form that on-the-bit connection. So you may have noticed that those steps that we've just talked about, 1, 2, and 3, are actually the first training skills. So we've just talked about rhythm, suppleness, and contact. And although we talk about them in steps, they actually work together simultaneously to create the energy circle. And for the energy circle to be complete, energy should flow from your horse's active hind legs, over his supple and swinging back. It should arrive in your horse's mouth as your horse seeks the bit. It should then travel along the reins to your hands, through your supple body and seat, to your driving aids, which are your legs, and then that puts the activity back into your horse's hind legs, and that circle continues around and around. So this energy circle is created by a combination of the scales of training working together. They benefit each other, and they are what enable your horse to go on the bit. Now, importantly, for all of this to work, your aids must be balanced. Too much hand or too much leg, and then the correct on-the-bit posture you are searching for will not be possible. Now, lastly, to demonstrate true dressage riding and harmony, your aids need to be not only balanced, but as quiet as you can make them while still getting the desired result. So rather than having to shout your aids at, say, volume level 10, your goal is to be able to whisper them at volume level 1, but still get the desired result. That is your ultimate goal. Okay, so once you think you've got your horse on the bit, how do you know? Well, a simple way to test whether your horse is correctly on the bit is to allow your reins to slowly slip through your fingers. If your horse is working correctly into the contact, then he should follow the bit forward and down, staying in front of the vertical and stretching over his whole top line as he does so, while still propelling himself along rhythmically with his hind legs. Now, if your horse is not correctly on the bit, then when you allow the reins to slip through your fingers, your horse will simply come off the bit and lift his head up, leaving you with no contact in your hands. So that's a very simple way to test if you have created the connection correctly. But do not fixate on your horse's head position. When trying to put your horse on the bit, it's very easy to just focus on your horse's head. And this can lead you to applying too much rein pressure, fiddling with the contact, or any other of those negatives that we talked about earlier. So a little tip is to, instead of thinking on the bit, think out to the bit. So you want your horse to stretch out to the contact. And focus on how your horse feels underneath your seat and in your hands, rather than simply where is your horse's head. Now, the last note we have for you is all about riding young horses on the bit. So if you have a young horse, or maybe one that's just coming back into work, it's important to be aware that he probably won't have the strength to work on the bit for long periods. So you must give the horse frequent stretching and walking breaks and keep the sessions short. If you demand that a young horse, or one that hasn't been worked for a while, maintains the on the bit posture for long periods, then this will lead to muscle fatigue, stiffness, injury and resistance. So it's important that you keep sessions positive, you keep them short, and you allow your horse plenty of breaks. So to wrap up this episode, the term on the bit is often misunderstood, with many riders believing that it refers only to their horse's head position. when in fact the term describes an overall way of going that involves your horse's whole body. Now, through the application of breathable leg aids combined with elastic rein aids, your goal is to influence your horse to tip his pelvis under and for his hind legs to step under and through. This activates your horse's abdominal muscles and assists in the raising of his back and shoulders, allowing him to stretch upward and forward through the base of his neck towards the end of the rein. Now, lastly, this correct on-the-bit posture is not achievable through the use of gadgets or shortcuts. It is only possible through correct riding and correct training. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other books, training diaries or competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.